The scripture this morning is from the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 186. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us stand for the gospel. Jesus read this and has told this to the Jews as they were gathered. He said, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and he said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard.' The son answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said to him, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm thinking I should have had Neo done the children's moment. He would have done it in Tongan. And all the kids would have gotten as much out of it as they do out of mine. Thank you for your words of prayer, Neo. I am always grateful. Thank you for both choirs for your generous words. Sermon title, Full of Empty. Tried to pick something to kind of encapsulate where I wanted to go. Do you have a sense of where I'm going with that this morning? Here was a man who was full of empty. His name was Jesus. He was God on earth. Incarnate. Come down full of power, full of all the creative abilities of all things. And yet humbled himself to be among us. This man, Jesus, able to heal the sick, the lame, the wounded. He helped people with their personal demons, mental illness, estrangement, and strange things. He helped all of us through all of those illnesses and difficulties. He was able to reconcile sinners. This great, amazing person. He was able to stand against the greatest power on earth at that time, the Roman government. He is able to stand against the powers today as well. And yet he humbled himself even unto death on the cross. So full of humble means humility, but it means trying to put that into ourselves, filling ourselves. How do we get to that place that he got to? Happy World Communion Sunday. Think a moment about some of our brothers and sisters that some have already communed because of the time shift in the international date line and the spinning of the earth and all of that. Some have already celebrated communion. Some have not yet. But think of some of those who have. Easy to think of our brothers and sisters in the UK, England and Scotland and Ireland. Ireland. I've got a niece in Scotland. I hope she comes back with an accent. It's a little more fun to think of those down under, that have celebrated communion. Australia. How many of you have been to Australia? Ridden a kangaroo? No? Okay. Those are the easy ones to think about as our brothers and sisters. What about Japan? Yes. What about Russia? How many of you have been to Russia? Rich Sneer, I'm impressed. And they let you out? Scandinavia, Iceland, Peru, Colombia, Panama, Argentina, Ecuador, Paraguay, Brazil. And I haven't even started into Africa. What about all those African countries? Kenya, Tanzania, Mozambique, Malawi, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco. All of those countries with Christians gathered. I wish I had been able to spend some time talking to Greg Canono about his faith journey in the Philippines. What an amazing man. It was only a couple weeks before his death that he was at that front door greeting us. I am still in awe. What about Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia? What about Vietnam? There are Christians in all of those places. China, North Korea. Harder to be Christian there. You don't just get to wander in the morning and greet one another and chat and have a wonderful time and come if you want to and not if you don't. Your life is dependent upon not letting the government know you're Christian. And they have celebrated with us this morning. Iran, there are Christians. Iraq, Afghanistan, all of those places, there are Christian brothers and sisters whose states and languages and customs are foreign to us and yet have joined together on this World Communion Sunday. Kind of fun to think of all of those other places, but of course we know that it really World Communion Sunday is really our thing. It's just they join us, right? It's all about us in the United States. It's really it's like the Bible. It's really an English Bible. All those other translations are just the other ones. Come on, I'm teasing you. I had a graphic lesson in that in seminary. My first year, my first class, New Testament. Professor Dr. Donald McDennis. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and this is before computers and the screens and all that, so he had a slide projector, and we're watching, and he said, I got to work on some of the Dead Sea Scrolls and some other old documents. He says, I want to show you when we talk about some of the documents, what they really look like. So he pulls up a slide. He says, here's a slide. He says, this is in Greek. And he said, and this papyrus was on the screen, frayed edges and chunks missing, and it was rough looking, to say the least. And he says, this is from, and he began to read it. I thought, this is so cool. My professor can read this text. He's a biblical scholar. This is so amazing. I'm so privileged to be sitting here. And he was right here on my left, and he's talking, and I'm thinking, wow. And the woman to my right says, no, Dr. McDonald, it says this. And she corrected him. If I could have turned into a flea and fled, I would have. I was shrinking down in my seat like, you're correcting the professor? Her name is Deja Kay. She's Greek Orthodox. She speaks and reads and writes Greek all the time. He turned to her. He said, thank you, Dee. I always misconjugate that word, don't I? She said, yep, you do. It is not an English Bible. It's ours is a translation. The Tongan Bible, I don't know. Neo, is it from... Is it the original, and do you read it out of the Greek, or it's in Tongan, isn't it? It's in Tongan. You what? How do we recognize that we are reading and inheriting the tradition? Unless you read it in the Greek. Renee, can you read Hebrew well enough to read the Hebrew Old Testament? No. Pick up pieces. I thought I would take Greek. I thought that would be so helpful to be able to read the text in the original Greek.
You have to grow up and know Greek to be able to do that well. And at some point I thought, this is ridiculous to even try. I can kind of make some sense about where we are in some things. But this is translations. This nation is not very good at humility. How about the Tongans, Neil? Are they humble people or are they not so much? Kind of, sort of. We need to work on humility here in our United States, I think. Personal opinion. The gospel lesson. The two brothers. The one brother says, I will do your will, Father. But he doesn't. And the second brother says, no, I'm not going to work in the vineyards. Nope, I have no part of this. But later he does. Which one does the will of the Father? The second brother. Jesus is talking to the Jews. He's talking about how they grew up in the faith. They grew up with all of the traditions. They grew up promising to follow Yahweh. They're waiting for the Messiah. They're ready to do whatever God directs them to do. And they come, the Messiah comes in their midst, and they reject him. They'd promised to go and work in the vineyards, and when they're called and summoned, they fail to respond. How must they have thought? How must they have felt when they heard that read to them? How must they have responded? It's so difficult. And those other brothers, they were the Greeks and the pagans and the Romans and all of those that weren't part of any religious tradition. Have you met people say, oh, no, I don't have anything to do with religion. That's no. And yet if they come to that at some point in their life, not only are they welcomed and received, but the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, these were people non grata for the Jews. If you worked for the occupying Roman government, you were complicit with their evil. You were not to be around such people, and here they were being welcomed by Christ. Which of us does the will? When I was in college, I was working in the bar. I was working in a bar. This is kind of one of the disco era, and I'll just be kind of straightforward about that. But this fellow walked in and he said, yeah, we're from out of state and we're traveling around seeing all the sights. He says, how long a drive is it from here to Ouray? And I looked at him and I said, what? And he says, Ouray. And it took me a minute to figure out, O-U-R-A-Y, Uray. I said, oh, Uray. I said, well, I said, you know, when you head down there, I said, the drive here is easy. This is pretty. Watch for this. This is enough. And he listened to me very carefully, and we got to the end of it. And I said, so. And he looked at me again. He said, Uray. And I said, Uray. And he looked at me and said, Uray. And I said, okay. Out of state, out of first reading it and making up his own pronunciation, but out of lack of humility, deciding that he knew how to pronounce it. I was tempted to say, well, let me tell you about the Ute chief named Uray and his squaw Chapita. Let me tell you about some of their history and some of the things about them. And I just didn't. But do we sometimes get caught up in our own knowledge and our own selves and forget about humility? We need to fill ourselves with empty. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. You ever heard of Roy Rogers? Great humorist. He was before my era, and I continue to be brokenhearted about that. I would have loved to have heard him live or had some time to just absorb some of his character, because he was a character from what I can understand. He said, you know, everybody is ignorant only on different subjects. And I believe he said, and I couldn't find the quote, I was going to look it up, but he said, everybody you meet is better at something than you are. This fellow that was busy pronouncing it Ouray, he was an idiot. Yes? All right, lack of humility, we'll go there for a moment. But we need to step that next step. Something about him was wonderful and better than me and admirable. I don't know what it was. Doesn't matter. But he was worthy. He was valuable. He was beloved of God. In our humility, we make mistakes too. I've tried to say some Tongan things and Paya just smiles at me. Humility. Humility is admitting that everyone has value. And everyone you meet may be better at something than you are. Roy Rogers was preaching Philippians, wasn't he? That's where he was. That's what that passage says. Let your mind be in the mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross. There are people that say if we are humble or we will be trampled on. My response is, be humble anyway. Jesus was humble. He did all of those things. How many times in the passages in the New Testament does he heal someone or cure someone or redeem someone or absolve someone, and then he says to them, tell no one. He didn't do it for a claim. He didn't do it for the popularity. He didn't do it to get his name's Twitter or Facebook or TV. It was out of humility and out of care for one another. He emptied himself. How did this humble person change the world? Think about that. We are not the world that was before him. And the world is continuing to change. I need to do a whole sermon sometime on just how much we have changed, even in just the last two generations, and how much we're growing to follow the Prince of Peace. Growing to follow the Master Teacher. And we're gaining. There seem to be times when we take setbacks, but those occur. But out of that humility, he has conquered. And maybe that's even the wrong term. But the world has changed, and he has not been discounted and trampled upon. So we can change the world, and we're called to. We are called to. We are the ones that need to be in the midst of doing that. If we are willing, if we are faithful, if we are obedient, if we are humble, if we are Christian, we can do that in the name of the Lord. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself and being found in human form, humbled himself even to obedience to the cross and death on the cross. Let us be those peoples.